Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are studying now in part one of Daniel, the book of Daniel. And we are now on lesson six, which will be chapter four of Daniel. So today we will kind of review what we have been studying before we kind of jump into chapter 4. But let us begin our study with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we want to thank you, Father, for this privilege. I thank you for each and every one that is listening and those that are present to study your word. And we just ask now that the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and give us understanding, knowledge, and wisdom of your truths, Father, that we may know you more, that we may know what a sovereign and almighty God that you are. And we just ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, here, starting in this lesson, we want to kind of look at the theme of the lesson. We know that this is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, this is a dream that he has. And the theme, really, of some of the books that we've looked at in the past tell us kind of the story. So today we have learned in our study that here in this chapter 4, that the theme is about God. So it would be God Most High that rules over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes. So we've already learned that Nebuchadnezzar was the Babylonian king that captured God's people, God's people in Israel. And he had taken them to Babylon. And he also brought treasures of God's temple into his own treasury. And as we've studied in these first three chapters, we've learned that he's a great king and he's a proud king. And at that time, he is dominant over all the kingdoms. And so, remember we studied about the statue dream, that he was the head of gold, and God set him in that position. And then when we went to chapter 2, we learned that Nebuchadnezzar made the remark, that God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries. He didn't say that he is the God of gods and king of the Lord King. He said a. So here in that chapter, he had not recognized God as the sovereign God. Now, in Daniel 3, Daniel 3 tells us of the king's anger and his rage when he give out orders for them to obey. Remember the statue that all were to bow down. And, of course, we know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. And so after God had rescued them, the king said that God was the Most High, and he said there's no other God who is able to deliver in this way. And that word, God Most High, means El Elyon. So Daniel appeared to the commander of Nebuchadnezzar's officials while in training in chapter 1 and was appointed to Nebuchadnezzar's personal service. And Daniel sought the Lord's help to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar heard witness from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God is able to deliver them from death, and they chose to trust God whether he would deliver them from the fire or not. So now let's go to chapter 4 of Daniel today, and let's look at who wrote this letter. I'm going to read the first three verses of chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and people of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. So this shows us that King Nebuchadnezzar is writing the letter here, and he's writing it to the nations and the people of every language that live in all the earth. And this is what he says: may you prosper greatly. Verse 2, it is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. So Nebuchadnezzar began this letter with praise of God Most High, whom he recognized as being the only one whose kingdom is everlasting. Now let's go into the next verses 4 through 9 and see what he continues to write. It's a letter. It's kind of like the king, he wrote decrees that would be sealed. But this is a letter, but it's being sent not to one particular person, but it said to nations. So in starting with verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar was at home. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar. This is personal because he says I. If you notice throughout, he uses the first person referring to him. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. And when the musicians, the enchanters, the astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods in him. I said, Belshazzar, chief of the musicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. So what do we see now in these verses? Here we see that Nebuchadnezzar told about him having a dream, and then he had Daniel come in to interpret it when no one else could interpret it for him. And he described Daniel as one who had a spirit of the holy gods in him. So we know that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. So he knew that he had the Spirit of God indwelling in him. Now let's look at verses 10 through 18. These are the visions. This is Nebuchadnezzar continuing, telling Daniel what he saw in his dream. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in branches from every creature that was fed. So here we see in verse 10 through 12 that Nebuchadnezzar gives the vision of a tree and how large that it was, and it grew and it was strong, and everything about it produced abundant food, and even the animals and the birds lived in its branches. And now continuing in verse 13, and in the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. And he called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass by him. So in this vision, he saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. And this messenger is saying, this tree that I see that was so great and mighty, he says, cut it down. Cut the tree down and trim off its branches and its leaves and scatter its fruit and the animals to be scattered. But let its stump and its root be bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. And here he says, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants, and let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass. So we need to find out who the him is. He is saying that this tree is a him, it's a he. And so let's finish reading verses 17 and 18. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. Now, Belshazzar, Daniel, tell me what it means. For none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because of the spirit of the holy gods in you. So, here we see in these verses 10 through 18 that Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel the dream. And he is, we've kind of gone through what the dream was about, and he describes it all to Daniel. And he is asking Daniel to interpret the dream because there was no one else that could interpret the dream. So, let's look and we'll see how that Daniel interprets this dream in verses 19 through 27. Then Daniel, called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." And Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching to the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your majesty, you are that tree." So, as we said in the previous verses, it mentioned the tree as a he. So now Daniel is saying that this tree is King Belteshazzar. Then let's finish with verse 22. And Daniel says, "You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the world, of the earth." He's saying that you have become so great and so powerful that your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Now, let's look at verse 23. "Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals.'" Let him, remember the him, now he is described as King Belteshazzar. So let you live with the wild animals until seven times pass for you, for him. Now, going on in verse 24, he says, "This is the interpretation, your majesty, and this is the decree. The Most High, God Almighty, El Elyon, has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes." So here, Daniel has interpreted this. He is explaining back in verse 23 that a holy one, a messenger that came down from heaven, was saying, given this saying from God to cut down the tree. So he is saying here in this interpretation that this Most High King is you, this tree. You're the one that has become sovereign. And now God is saying that you're going to be driven away from people and you're going to live with the wild animals and you will eat grass like an ox and you'll be drenched with the dew of heaven. And seven times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives to everyone. So we are seeing then that this tree represented Nebuchadnezzar, and he was about to be humbled by God Most High. So a watcher, a holy one from heaven, gave the decree, and then he gives us the time period of seven periods, probably 7 years. The king was to be like a beast until he recognized that God, not himself, is ruler of all, and his kingdom would be preserved for him during that time. So, what Daniel was doing, let's go into the remainder of these verses, and let's see what Daniel is saying in verse 26 through 28 here, that the king is to do. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that your prosperity will continue. So Daniel calls the king to repent of his sins by doing righteousness and showing mercy. Now, through this, we're seeing the sovereignty of God. He was saying in these verses that you need to recognize that you are not the one that's sovereign, but God is sovereign over all. So let's see what happens to King Nebuchadnezzar at once he has had the interpretation. Let's look at verses 28 through 33. Verse 28, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, now remember, the king is the one that has sent out the letter, and then he required Daniel to interpret it. Now it says in this verse that all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, this is after the interpretation, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you, and you will be driven away from the people. You will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like ox. 7 times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. So here we see that the dream had been given and it had been interpreted by Daniel. And then we see 12 months or year later, it hadn't happened, but now a year later, as King Nebuchadnezzar was walking around and looking at his royal palace, he was saying, oh, look what I have done. Look how great I am. Look at my mighty power and the glory of my majesty. And even as these words came out of his mouth, then this voice from heaven spoke and said that today this decreed that you have read and sent out, this that you have dreamed is now taking place. And it says that he will eat grass, that he will be driven away from the people. In other words, King Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely going to lose his mind. He is going to become just like an animal. And it says that he would even eat grass like the ox. So 7 times or 7 years is going to pass by before you acknowledge that God is most high and sovereign. And so we know this is taking place. So let's look forward now and see in these last verses. Remember, God is a merciful God. He had given him 12 months to repent. So we see the mercy of God, we see the patience of God, and we see the justice of God. Let's read 34 through 37. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity, see, he had lost his mind, my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. In these verses, we see that Nebuchadnezzar, in this year's time, he now has repented. And this is what he says, that he, God Almighty, his dominion is an eternal dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Verse 35, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. God does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth, and no one can hold back God's great hand or say to him, what have you done? Then we see in verse 36, at the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor, my splendor was returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now, there are many other scriptures that we can refer to, but time doesn't allow us today to do that. But I want to tell you, we see a contrast in this in David, Psalms 21, but in many other scriptures, we see how that it describes God as being almighty and that he is ruler over all. Daniel has, more in this one chapter about God's sovereignty than all the other scriptures. But you will find in Psalms 57, also in Isaiah 14, in Psalms 139, in Isaiah 46, in Ezekiel 14, in Job 36, is in Isaiah 45, in 2 Samuel 16, in Luke 22, and Job and John 19. In all of these scriptures and throughout the Bible, we see that God is sovereign, that He is Lord of lords, that He is King of kings. So we're looking back now at verse 34 through 37, and we see that the Lord showed Nebuchadnezzar in this tree dream. It happened just as the Most High God said it would. Remember, this interpretation was given to Daniel by God, and it happened just as God said it would. And at the end of the appointed time, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God rules and honored and exalted him as the King of heaven, the one able to humble those who walk in pride. So Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was restored to him and surpassed its earlier greatness. So the Lord God is able to humble whoever that He chooses to humble, and He is the one that exalts those that He chooses to exalt. So He does all according to His will, and no one can ward off His hand. No one can say, "What have you done?" His sovereignty rules over all. And that's in Psalms 103, verse 19. And what He intends happens. No one thwarts His plans. And that's in Isaiah 14. And in all of what we have studied so far in these first four chapters of Daniel, we see the greatness and the sovereignty of God. We see His mercy. And we see how that He is in control of all and everyone. Well, this is not just the God of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. This is our God. Today we worship the same God that Daniel worshiped, that King Nebuchadnezzar recognized as being the God of heaven. In Daniel 1, we saw that God's over all nations. And in Daniel 2, we saw that He is the God of heaven. And then in Daniel 3, we saw that God rules over death. And now we're looking at who He is as being El Elyon, God Most High. So we will continue our study as we go into lesson 6 next week, and we'll continue to see the sovereignty of God and how that He is sovereign today, the same as He was in the day of Daniel. And as we go deeper into this study, we are seeing how that God can humble even the greatest of kings, and He can make them sovereign, restore them back to their kingdoms if they humble themselves and recognize that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So let us close today in prayer. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as You have given us Your word, had it written down for us to study, that You will give us the knowledge and the wisdom to see You and to see Your sovereignty and to know that You are Lord of lords and King of kings. Father, help us as we learn of You, not just to hold it in our hearts, but to share it with all those that we come in contact with, Father. That many that are out there in the world that are lost will come to believe upon Your great name and recognize You as Lord of lords and King of kings. I pray Your blessings upon each one that has studied with us today. And may you continue to be with us and lead, guide, and direct us. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.